no, but y'all know Karen. She's been around a long time, and I hear say she's the smart one. That's what I heard. That's, somebody told me that. I know she is. She's smarter than I am. Anyway, of course, that doesn't really say a whole lot, does it? That's all right. Karen, we are so glad. We were co-workers for many years. She's a faithful missionary wife. She's been there for many years, and they're doing the work in Puebla, and we just want to tell you how glad we are that you're part of our church and that you've decided to come back and bless us with your wisdom. Come on up and give us what's on your heart.
Accomplished. hi, we are going to share a video right now, but I just wanted to mention something real quick, a verse in 1 Thessalonians. I really should avoid this book because my list is a bad book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 4. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 4 and then 7 and 8. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. I've been thinking about that phrase, because ye were dear unto us. John and I have been in Puebla, Mexico for 11 years, and we were working primarily on the south side of the city. It's a huge city. We're about to start new work on the north side next month, and this kind of provoked my thoughts to evaluate the time that we spent there thus far. And when reading this, it just stuck out to me about how dear these people now are in that church on the south side. I can say that they are dear to me, but, you know, much of it has to do with the time and effort that has been invested in them, and that can provoke somebody to be dear unto you. But as I considered this new work endeavor, it was kind of a bit overwhelming to, okay, here we go again, you know, and it is exciting. I mean, I praise God for Matthew and Lauren. Matt is just like, man, he's pumped, he's psyched, he just can't wait to start this new work, you know. And I unfortunately have, you know, in my mind, like, okay, but, you know, if you jump over to verse 11, it says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. I mean, that is a big part of it, to impart not the gospel only, like it says in verse 8, but this investment of exhorting and comforting and charging. It's, you know, again, I know my name's Karen, but sometimes I can be a Debbie Downer, you know, and so I have to rein that in. But reading this verse, I thought, you know, how can I count the Northside souls dear to me at this point? You know, we're just barely going to dive in, you know, and I'm thinking of that long-term investment stuff that can be hard. And you know, sometimes someone becomes dear to us because their actions or behaviors are endearing. You know, they demonstrate characteristics that make you care for them more and love them more. But, you know, I just was reminded that lost souls are dear to God in every stage, and especially at the beginning, because God, in spite of no endearing qualities in mankind, he affectionately desires to save sinners. And he was willing to send his dear son in order to impart salvation. You know, from a secular perspective, this time investment versus the return on the investment is far from an ideal business model. It would be, they would say, foolish to reinvest to start this next work again, just looking at the history or the problems. Yet the Bible is full of perplexing investment concepts to the carnal mind. And my mind is carnal sometimes, yeah, as I face this. But, you know, the Bible measures value in terms like, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's perplexing. That can seem foolish. But the carnal mind thinks, what kind of an investor would once again invest time, effort, tears into such a risky, volatile, fluctuating commodity such as people? What about the risk-benefit ratio, you know? But in this particular work, the carnal mind would say, this risk is going to eminently lead to some failure. There's going to be some loss, in-house division, because after all, it's people at the heart of this work, of this business. Nevertheless, it will be worth the investment. God has shown me this, because after all, it's people at the heart of this. It's the perplexing paradox, I guess you could call it, but with eternal consequences. Amen. So as we lead up to this time of starting again, God has been trying my heart about my perspective on this investment, and he's reminded me that the south side of Puebla, that church, that area, is dear to him, and the Puebla north side is dear to him. I'm allowed of God, as this verse tells me, I'm allowed of God to be put in trust to speak the gospel, wow. Verse 4, which actually pleases him. This fact should adjust what I hold dear, and this is my prayer. May I seek to be affectionately desirous, as these men were, of the souls that God values, the gospel, and then the entrusted labor of exhorting, comforting, and charging as the years go by, as time goes by, and as souls are saved. May I count them and not myself dear to me and to God. And I just want to thank you all. You guys are co-investors with us. Your labor and prayers and support have strengthened us over these years, especially this last year. Thank you so much. We thank you. This video is from both of our families, and it kind of represents your personal investment portfolio in Puebla. And so I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness and supporting God's work is worth it. Praise the Lord. Amen.